Hey everyone, we are live for our Sunday weekly warm-up here exclusive to our teachbettergroup.com, our exclusive group over on Facebook. We love to stream this specific show exclusive in our group so that everyone participate in the chat is able to not only engage with those on screen, but also engage with those in the comments. This is a time for our community to come together, all 7,000 plus in this group, talk shop, share ideas, ask questions. And, you know, we love to bring in new faces and have great discussions. It is Brad Hughes and I tonight as we continue to enjoy our December. And we have maybe too much planned for the show. I'm a little concerned we're not going to be able to fit it all in. We're going to try really hard. We'll be right back. Sunday, Brad Hughes in the house. Brad, how are you?
Good evening, Ray. Good evening, Teach Better family. I'm doing really well. Always look forward to reconnecting with you, Ray, here at the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up. As you said, we're streaming exclusively in our Teach Better private Facebook group. Later on, if you missed live show tonight, we'll be streaming on all of the socials as well as recapping our talk tonight in an episode of the Teach Better Talk podcast. So we'll be getting our word out there all week, Ray, but we're starting right now with our Teach Better family. And I'm looking forward to catching up with you. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been on the air together.
I know. I have a very long list of like things I need to talk to Brad about. So I'm going to try and go through that during our first segment. For all of us popping in, this is a perfect opportunity to tag a friend that maybe is new to the Facebook group or tagging a friend that has been in the group and doesn't engage very often. We're actually going to go through a lot of really interesting educational conversations over in our Sunday strategies. But of course, in the beginning, Brad and I just need to catch up and we want to catch up with all of you. How was your weekend? We'd love to hear that as well as you're tagging a friend. Share with us how your weekend's been and I don't know, maybe a positive that's happened over the last week. We'd love to be here to celebrate with you. I always love a reason to cheers. So Brad, something that we definitely needed to cheers on was your birthday was last Sunday. And I know you weren't, you know, on the show because you were celebrating with family. I heard you may have been ill as well, which you just told me tonight. Tell me about the whole thing. I know birthdays don't need to be a big celebration, you know, as we age, but I still think any opportunity to celebrate is something I'm game for. So how was your birthday?
It was as good as it could have been. As you said, Ray, I was under the weather my birthday weekend, but we managed to see a movie. We managed to have dinner in. We had movies and dinner in. So I was feeling well enough to eat and to connect. And it just wasn't just feeling a bit off. But I'm feeling better and better as the week's been going on. And it's been wonderful just receiving some lovely birthday wishes from Teach Better friends and family, friends on Facebook. And we have a tradition at our school where we have birthday buddies. And so I was really well treated on the Friday before my birthday with some delicious home-baked treats and homemade card for one of my colleagues. And so it was just a lovely chance. And then when the kids find out that it's your birthday, that's the best, is getting birthday greetings from the little guys around you. And it was just a wonderful birthday.
Oh, I'm so glad that you had lots of different ways to celebrate, because in my mind, the entire month of December is celebrating Brad Hughes' birthday. So for any of you, I'd love to hear in the comments. Apparently we're just going to throw challenges to our community this entire show. I would love to hear what your perfect birthday looks like. Like perfect birthday day from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed. Because Brad, I think low key ordering food, enjoying family time, I think that's kind of all I want. Like, I don't know that I have high expectations, but I want it to be celebrated quietly.
That's where I'm at too. And everyone wants to celebrate a perfect birthday in different ways, right? I mean, just receiving some lovely birthday messages and greetings, some phone calls through the day, having it not be a work day was lovely. So it means if you want to kind of sleep in, have an extra cup of coffee or something sweet to eat for breakfast, that just make a day and a weekend that's yours and connecting with people that you care about and connecting with hopefully the things that you love to do.
I think that's perfection. I think if I was to lay out my favorite birthday, it would be a non I guess it would be a not working day only because I'd want to sleep in. I don't mind going to work, but if I could sleep in, that would be perfect. So however I can make that happen. And then, yeah, coffee. I don't need anything fancy. A granola bar in the morning's fine. I like people just being kind to me throughout the day, like choosing to be nice, right? Like, and then I really love like a good meal with people I love, like whatever that looks like. And it might look different, and maybe it's just the people that are available, but you know, whether it be friends or family or I don't know, even me and my dogs, like just something mm-hmm. that is calm and just really great food and drinks would be awesome. So I think you did it well, Brad.
I appreciate that. I was excited that you and Brian Fennell offered to host the Sunday weekly warm-up so I could just have a little bit of extended birthday time, which was an awesome treat. And it was lovely for you and Bree to have a chance to catch up. Did you enjoy that time reconnecting, and did you have a good week yourself?
I love Bree. I do not talk to her enough. That's actually been kind of a shift over the last year that Bree has like moved into a fancier role on the Teach Better team. And like, I don't feel like I'm engaging with her as much. We used to work a little bit closer side by side. And we literally, after the Sunday show, had that discussion where I was like, Bree, I'm going to like put random like required meetings for us to just catch up because I don't get to see her nearly enough. Or like many of you, I watch her from afar, mm-hmm. I know what's going on with her boys. I know what's going on, like, you know, in her life, but I don't necessarily get that intimate detail time. So it was really nice to hang out with Bree. So I feel like you gave me a gift by letting me hang out with Bree at last.
Oh, that's amazing. The past couple of days, Bree and family have shared photos on Facebook and maybe even to our Teach Better friends about how they're spending the holidays with extended family. So part of what I wanted to do was to reconnect with you, first of all, to wish you and your loved ones a very happy Hanukkah, Ray, and to find out how you and loved ones are spending the beginning of the holidays.
Yes, I want to send a big shout out. I feel like this weekend kind of started the family time for all the celebrations, and friends, wake up and find times to celebrate this season, whether it's your holiday, something you believe in or not. Let's just find ways to celebrate and spread, you know, our appreciation for people being wonderful. This Hanukkah season has been chaos. And I say that in a really loving way. We had the first night of Hanukkah Thursday. It started wonderful, slow, lit candles. My grandma and I have a tradition that we started over COVID that we light candles together over FaceTime. Lovely. Because we realized, you know, what was that, 2020, both of us were lighting candles by ourselves. And it wasn't that we didn't like lighting candles by ourselves, but it seemed like it could be something that we did together. And so we've continued that tradition. And then Saturday came, and Saturday we thought it was a good idea to host the family over. And oh boy, that was a riot. It was 2 p.m. to 1 a.m. Every food, brisket, everything you could imagine. Everyone was full and exhausted by the end of it. It was amazing. So good. And then, of course, the fourth night tonight. So I was joking with the crew. I'm like, guys, we're not even halfway done. Like, we just hit the halfway mark. I think everyone needs a little break because it's just been too many good things. You know, everyone needs to like go to school tomorrow and get, you know, take a break from the weekend.
Now, your partner, Matt, and girls, do they celebrate Hanukkah as well? Or have you been like really instrumental in extending the celebration of Hanukkah to your family?
Yeah. So we have all different religions and cultures in this household, and we love that. Everything from, you know, ethnic, we have Indian and English and Irish and Russian and everything. And then religion, we have Christian, Hindi, and Jewish. So it's just, you know, December is a time where it seems like every day is a holiday, and it's not a bad thing. I would like us to maybe organize the garbage differently because it feels to be building up right now. But hey, all things good. All things good.
That's wonderful. What's on tap for you as you... I mean, we're here to help educators in our Teach Better family shift from the weekend to the work week. And what kind of things are you looking forward to this week as you, whether personally or professionally, as you make that shift yourself?
Yeah, friends, for me, I need two things. One is I need my routine back. This has been 3-4-ish days of non-routine. And, oh, I'm sorry, Brad, it's been more than that because I was traveling for work. I was working at the school district Wednesday. So this has been, it feels like Wednesday through Sunday with no routine. So that might be dramatic, but for those of you who love routine, you will understand why it feels a little aggressive. So I'm ready for an alarm clock tomorrow. I'm ready for scheduled things I need to be a part of. I'm ready for kind of like an assigned outfit attire that I need to wear. And that's kind of a big part of me getting settled. And the other thing, Brad, kind of weird, I might be exploring a new tattoo this week. And I was going to ask you, are you a person who in any way would ever consider a tattoo?
I absolutely would. I don't have any tattoos at this time, but I absolutely would consider. And I'm really curious about what, I mean, can you spill the beans here? Tell us what you have in mind or what you're contemplating.
I actually would really like people's opinion. So if you're in the comments, this is not a fake thing. I legitimately need your thoughts. So this is completely Joshua Stamper's fault. Joshua Stamper went and finished up his arm sleeve tattoo about a week or two ago. And of course, that means like, well, he can't get a tattoo without me getting one. That's just absurd.
Yeah. And just to be clear, so much is Joshua Stamper's fault. I mean, when the random things happen that you wish didn't go, blame Joshua Stamper. I think that's a hashtag.
Exactly. So for those of you live with us, I would love your vote. If you're not live with us and you're catching this after the fact, I don't actually pull the trigger until Wednesday. So you have time if you're catching the show prior to Wednesday.
Yeah.
And if you're not a tattoo person, you can still give your opinion. Or if you have a friend who might be considering a tattoo, that tag them so they join this conversation. Here's my thing, Brad.
Okay.
So I have a tattoo I would like. It's a word with an exclamation point at the end. And I already had a placement for it. I'm going to put it like right here, the back of my elbow, just above my elbow. That was already kind of decided. But then I was really considering, this is the part that I need opinions on, getting it to be a Teach Better Green tattoo. Mm-hmm. Because Teach Better Green, I mean, I don't know what that would look like in a tattoo, but maybe it'd be cool. But of course, Brad, when you think Teach Better Green, what symbol do you think of? You think of a heart.
I think of green hearts, yeah.
A green heart. So now I have like two tattoos in mind, both with the mindset that the green heart would have to be green. The other one technically doesn't even have to, that could be anything.
Right.
So I'm a little tempted to do the green heart somewhere.
Yep.
Confirm I like the color, and then also I have a tattoo I like. And then after I see the color, decide what this would be, the word. I just can't decide. I want to know, any of you, Greenheart kind of makes sense. That would just be fun. Yep. I could test the color. It could be teeny tiny somewhere. I don't know.
I think that's an awesome plan. As you were kind of explaining how you wanted to kind of get one and the other, that was what I was thinking, is start small. Start with, and some folks that I know, and maybe that you know, have lovely, small, discreet, but lovely tattoos in a place that's meaningful, a symbol that's meaningful to them. And I think that little green heart would be just a perfect way to test that out. Inconspicuous, maybe, like it would just be, you know, something that you know, just lovely. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, you know, I am not a big color tattoo. I never had a color tattoo. So Candace even asking, like, does the green color last? I mean, color lasts as long as it lasts. Tattoos fade. I personally have a number of different tattoos. They're all teeny, teeny, tiny, which is actually what I love. And most of them are white. And I love white ink tattoos. So if any of you see me in person, I will show you. I have about 10. I love delicate, teeny, tiny white ink tattoos. Yeah. And I have two black tattoos, one of which I'm in the process of kind of adjusting to not be as dark, because I feel like the black ink on my skin is quite aggressive. But yeah, Brad, I mean, like, Teach Better Green, how cool would that be? I mean, like, come on, like, I just feel like I got to go for it.
Do you have a trusted tattoo artist or tattooist that could give you advice on whether, I mean, the question from Candace, will the green color last? I mean, I'm sure someone that you trust would know.
Yeah, it will last. It will fade over time like any tattoo does. And I think my plan right now, I'll read your comments more even as you continue, because we're obviously, Brad and I are going to transition to a few different conversations tonight. But I think like a green heart somewhere, somebody pick somewhere that I should do that. And then the word I'm going to get if I like how the green turns out. Otherwise, I'll do the word like in black and white, like something that I know I already like. I think that's
one of our viewers is actually took the thought right out of my mind in my mouth. I've never seen a white ink tattoo. I'd love to see.
I'm
really curious now.
I don't know that you can see it on me. Like, maybe, can you see that? it looks like lines, triangles. Anybody? Can you see it on my arm? Yeah, like that's a whiting tattoo.
So cool.
Yeah, so it doesn't, it kind of looks like a scar.
Yeah.
But it doesn't glow in the dark. You can get glow in the dark ink. This is not it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is probably my easiest one to see because of its position. But yeah, right. I love the white ink. It's kind of fun. So we'll see.
Here's a suggestion. Do the word in white and in the green heart, the word floating in the green heart.
That would be cool. That's a little bigger than I'm willing to commit. I'm looking for, I have this word in like a very, very thin, almost handwriting script.
Yeah.
And then the green heart, I thought would just be like a light embellishment. Like I want the teeniest green heart any of you could think of.
Yeah.
Maybe even my finger so I could like show it. I don't know. It's so many options.
Well, I'm really curious about your word. I don't know if that's something that you want to put out there as you're still contemplating it. But anyway, it's a conversation I want to keep going. And I'm wondering about the script too. Is it a script that is like a font, not a common font, but like an artistic font? Or I've seen some tattoos that are scripted to either resemble or be an exact copy of the handwriting of a loved one. I wonder if that's what's on your mind.
So my sister and I actually have twin tattoos that we got in Scotland that is in my mom's handwriting. So I already have a handwriting one. This one I will reveal later this week. So stay tuned. I have the word picked out. There's no chance of the word changing. There's no chance of the handwriting changing. In my mind, the only chance is that I don't pull the trigger. But to me, that's the one I want. Like the green heart just like evolved. I highly doubt, unless I don't get a tattoo at all, I can't imagine I leave with the heart and not the word. Like I'm going in for the word. I just have found a reason to maybe also get a green heart tattoo. So
fantastic. I would talk it over with your tattoo artist, your tattooist, and trust the process. I think it's going to be great.
I'd love to hear all your thoughts. Even if you're anti-tattoo, give me your thoughts. There's no negative here. We're all in a safe space. And yeah, this could be a cool process. I've never gotten a tattoo and involved our Teach Better community. And I really would be interested. Everything from color to placement and should be kind of cool. So if you missed the beginning of this conversation, you can go back and rewatch. We're going to transition here into our Sunday strategies and maybe get into some educational conversations versus tattooing and birthdays and holidays. So we'll be right back. Welcome back to our Sunday weekly warm-up. We are in our Sunday strategy section, which is where we like to incorporate Teach Better questions, topics, anything from our community. Obviously, we love to take questions live, so feel free to put those in the chat. But we also, because we didn't have a guest this week, I looked through all the different listener questions that we have, and we have a huge bank of listener questions. Brad, here's what I did, because I want to get a little creative. Okay. One, I went through all the listener questions and pulled a few questions I really liked. Then I copied and pasted them into ChatGPT, and I asked for ChatGPT to add a little bit more flair and personality to the questions.
Oh, wow.
So I thought I could pose them to you and have you share your thoughts. And then, of course, if anyone in the comments is hearing us share and either wants to ask a follow-up question or add their own thoughts, that's what this show is all about. So are you up for the fun?
Up for the fun, absolutely.
I love it. Okay, this one, okay, they're all kind of tricky, but they're like fun. Like we'll keep these very lighthearted. The first one is picture your teaching style as a musical genre. What would you describe it as, and how does it resonate with your diverse student needs?
I would describe my teaching style and leadership style as musical comedy. I really try to bring energy and fun to every interaction. And, that includes with the adults that I serve and as well as the kids and their families. And, you know, I'm always up for a good pun and some nice wordplay, but I'd say musical comedy. I'm trying to think of a musical. I'm thinking like the Muppet Show. So the Muppet Show, you've got lots of different characters. You've got, you know, spinoffs or takes on popular culture. The Muppets put their own spin on it, but I think I describe my leadership and teaching style, even when I was teaching Ray, as musical comedy. You want to make sure that you're bringing in a wonderful and welcoming audience to your studio space, and you're leaving them feeling that, oh boy, I can't wait for the next episode.
Literally the best answer of all time, Brad Hughes. Like, already kicking out of the park, and we're already one question in. I love that description.
How would you describe your teaching style and your leadership style?
So I was struggling. I even had time to prepare because I looked at these questions beforehand, yeah. But I was really struggling. I wanted to describe my teaching styles, not in a genre, but more as like T-Swift, like Taylor Swift style. Mm. We can go deep. We could go rock and roll. We can go empowerment. Like, we could go like lighthearted folk. I kind of loved the variety Taylor Swift has put out. You know, the Eras Tour is so popular. It's all about friendship and spreading love. I was like, can my genre just be Taylor Swift?
I think it can. And I think that as I just speaking of reflecting about you personally and professionally, you add value to in every interaction. And that's what I think Taylor Swift is all about, you know, recognized as Time's Person of the Year. Not just for, you know, who she is and what she does, but the way she leaves communities better when she visits, whether it's for with monetary donations or practical work. And that's what you do too. I mean, you leave every interaction a little bit better and just a little bit more understood. And as well, you're always seeking to better understand. So you're not just adding value. You're also someone who's tremendously empathetic in every interaction too. So yeah, I support you proceeding as Taylor would do.
You're far too nice to me, Brad. What about this next one? If a classroom or school were a superhero team, what would be its unique superpower?
I think one of the superpowers would be the power of connection, the power to connect with, to inspire, to uplift. And when I think about superheroes, they have their own characteristic powers, their thing or things that makes them unique and makes the world better. But as educators, I think what one of our superpowers is bringing those gifts and talents and special powers in the kids around us and in our colleagues too. So as a school leader, what I try to prioritize is allowing others' gifts and others' strengths and superpowers to come to the fore. Either in natural ways or, you know, with a friendly tap on the shoulder and that encouragement. Same with our kids. I mean, there are so many hidden talents within our kids. And if we create the kind of spaces where kids feel that they can be confident, they can be supported, they can be loved just to be there, just be themselves, right? Then that's our superpower, I think, as educators is to develop other superheroes and allow them to show their super talents.
I love this. See how these phrasing of the questions get so kind of funky and fun.
Ray, you already are a superhero, but in addition to your green cape and your bodysuit with the green heart on, like what do you consider a superpower of your, or either a superpower or a hidden talent? You know how, you know, Clark Kent has the glasses and stuff. So I see you with glasses on in your Insta reels and stuff. So when your glasses are on, are you in a different incognito mode there?
Oh, always trying to be really focused, responsible. Yeah. The glasses come off and I like to be like a nut. That's a goal. And and Brad, similar to what you said with connections, I feel like I was going to go a little bit of metaphor. Like my superhero power would be that we want everyone to fly. Like, we want everyone to soar with success. A little too cheesy, probably. You had a better answer. That was pretty good.
No, not at all. No, not at all. And I think of our colleague and friend, Livia Chan, who really prioritizes, you know, the power that each of us have to uplift in every interaction. It takes a second. It takes literally a second of warmth or engagement or interest to make a difference. And you never know what kind of trajectory shift we're engendering in those kind of interactions as well. So I consider that to be one of your superpowers as well.
All right, Brad, I got another for you. This says, if engaging parents were a cooking show, what would be your secret recipe?
Chocolate chip cookies. chocolate chip cookies. And what I would do is, in terms of engaging, like, everyone's got a favorite cookie recipe. So in terms of engaging parents, I would invite parents and caregivers to share their favorite recipes for cookies and maybe even to bake them or bring them in, do kind of a cookie swap. But that's part of the, I guess, the art and science of connecting with parents and caregivers is recognizing their traditions, their unique perspectives, you know, the lives they lead and the you know, the walk, the journeys they've been on, and honoring what they can bring to our school communities.
Well, Brad, they do say that if you're trying to sell your house, or like if you're on a first date, or if you have a new friend coming over, yep, you should bake cookies, and then that makes them feel warm and welcome, and that they already like a familiarity piece, right?
Every holiday, my mom bakes cookies and shares them with the family. There are some favorites that I've enjoyed since I was, well, since I was young as I can remember. And our recipe box in my mom's kitchen is really coveted too. There are some special recipes that she inherited from neighbors that she would prepare, especially cookie recipes. I can think of, there's one little card in my mom's box called Carol's Special, or Carol's Secret Chocolate Chip Cookies, which are our favorites. And they were, handed down from a neighbor. I'm sure that you can think of recipes like that in your recipe box too.
So many. I feel like we ate them on Saturday. My family, my mom, my dad, my sister and brother-in-law came into town. Yeah. Everybody came here, and it was like every homemade recipe ever. And it's not to say that everything wasn't delicious, because it was, but I feel like some of the people that maybe newer to the group tried stuff and they're like, why is everyone so obsessed with this? And for us, it's like, it's delicious and it has nostalgia. So 100%. It's not just a great cookie. It's the best cookie. Yeah. When in reality, like, I don't know that that's true, but for me, it's kugel. Like Jewish food is kugel. And if any of you have never had it, there's no way to describe it where it sounds good. It's like a noodle dish that has a lot of sweetness to it. So it's more like a dessert. Anyway, right. If I told you it was in it, you'd never try it. And it's just, it's like perfection. And I was eating it and everyone was like, listen, I'm not saying this isn't delicious, but it was talked up a lot. Like, yeah. No, this is the best food ever. So good. So good. You know, Brad, I'm going to post the rest of these in our group. If anyone else wants to partake in answering our 20 fun questions for everyone to participate in. The one that I thought I would throw at you, number 19, and then I will post this entire list in the chat so people can maybe even bring this to their staff or their team, kind of some entertainment icebreakers. But this says, handling parent concerns is like managing a customer service hotline. How do you turn each call into an opportunity to create a stronger partnership?
I start off by just expressing how grateful I am to receive the call. And so when a parent or caregiver calls the office, oh, so glad to hear from you. How can I help? And then you position yourself as someone who seeks to understand, to better understand and to better serve. And I can't tell you how many parent and caregiver calls I've been able to successfully navigate simply by positioning myself as someone who's eager to understand before I seek to be understood. It really, and that's all part of customer service. I mean, our clients and our students and families and caregivers, they are our customers, and we want to make sure that they leave either feeling satisfied or know that even if there is a misunderstanding, or even if I can't honor each and every request that a parent or caregiver has, they know that I'm seeking to better understand and incorporate their feedback into what happens at the school.
Such good discussion here. I encourage everybody to consider maybe one or two of these questions this week, bringing that into your classroom, bringing it into a team meeting. Plenty of opportunities here. I just posted all 20, 1 through 20 of these creative questions in the chat. Right, this would be a great resource to not only share with friends and family, but also with administrative leaders, and continue to just spread support for everybody continuously being a learner. We'll be right back with our Sunday Spark.
Awesome.
Everyone, my name is Ray Hewitt. We have Brad Hughes in the house, and we are live for our Sunday weekly warm-up, exclusive in our private Facebook group over at teachbettergroup.com. It is completely free for any educators looking for uplifting support and messaging. As many of you know who have already been in this group, we like to stream our live shows in here. We post blogs in here. Educators ask questions on a daily basis in here to try and get support, especially those of you that are grid users. We love to provide you surprise exclusive support. So feel free free to tag your friends and have them join. This is our Sunday Spark category, which is a really, really short way to wrap up our show to give you some positive and some fun holidays. Brad, what do you got for us today?
Ray, this is the season of giving, and I want to highlight from goodnewsnetwork.org, a teenager who's sending silly socks for seniors has launched a Christmas drive to warm toes and hearts in nursing homes. And so there's a photo there on screen, if you're joining us live, of Ellie Ginelli of Stockton, California, who's been making colored socks with silly designs on them for years, sending them to seniors in nursing and care homes to brighten up their day. I think if we reflect on the role that our elders have played in our lives, both in our formative years and as we're adults and transitioning to whether it's parenthood or growing a family, when we reflect on how our elders are spending their days, sometimes it can be very isolating, and sometimes it can be with a sense of loneliness and really, really bittersweet for days and for events gone by. So this high school junior has started the Socks for Seniors project all the way back in the second grade. And she has spruced up 92 care homes in 48 states, all the way from California, and making a few pen pals along the way. So in addition to presenting seniors with colorful and fun socks, she's able to engender some communication, and that spark of communication between generations is what this Sunday Spark's all about, Ray, too. If we take a look at our school communities, there are all kinds of opportunities already ongoing to give. And so my challenge, just to put it out there, is to reflect on ways that we as educators, whether we're a school leader or whether we're a classroom teacher, whatever our important role in education might be, reflect on the important opportunities that we have to build bridges and connections among community members, especially around this time of year, whether it's through silly socks or whether it's through holiday concerts or festivals, whether it's through a coffee hour, whatever it is, building connection, especially with kids and our elders, I think is crucial at this time of year.
Ugh, so many wonderful takeaways there. And we just have a few more for you before we wrap up the show. Do not forget that Hanukkah, a Jewish holiday, will continue until Friday day. It will actually wrap up Friday at sunset. So most Jewish families will be celebrating their last celebration Thursday evening with their friends and family. Other holidays will include many, 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 many things this week because we're in December and it's never ending. Tomorrow, we'll be celebrating International Mountain Day, as well as the anniversary of the Statue of Westminster, which sounds like a Canadian holiday, Brad. Yeah. Gotta love a good Canadian holiday. It's also holiday food drives for any needy puppies in the world. So that might be something you'll participate in on Monday. We have Gingerbread House Day coming December 12th, as well as Carol Day, because who would not like to carol? Festival of Unmentionable Thoughts is also something that many of us will be celebrating maybe privately. So that's kind of funny. On the 13th, we have National Ice Cream Day, as well as National Hot Cocoa Day. And in my mind, that is one of the most important days of the year. So hot cocoa being a very, very special thing to celebrate with our friends, family, and students. December 14th, we celebrate Free Shipping Day, as well as the good old Monkey Day. Who wouldn't love a good Monkey Day? And then wrapping up the end of our week with our students, the 15th of December, we have a lot going on, including National Cupcake Day, Ugly Sweater Day, Bill of Rights Day, and International Tea Day. So why not celebrate all the things this week? If you are looking for holidays to celebrate, we get our list over at nationaltoday.com. It's just an opportunity to find silly things to find joy in our day. So, so, so good, Brad. This was such a good show to talk shop, hang out, and talk through some fun concepts.
Just loved it. I loved the listener questions. I loved how you reframed them through ChatGPT. And that was a great tactical move, a great entertainment move as well. Really engaging and great to catch up with you and great to catch up with our Teach Better family as we necessarily shift attention to the holidays and to ending our winter term really strong as well. We want to continue to reach out and to be here with and for you as Teach Better members. We're just really grateful that you joined us tonight, or maybe you're joining us later on.
Friends, we are excited to continue to celebrate with you throughout the month of December, not only with our Today Show, the Teach Better Today morning show. Our Sunday weekly warm-up will actually wrap up in this show. We don't actually have a show next week, and we will not have a show during the Christmas and New Year's break. We'll be back in January with all of you, which is so bittersweet, Brad. I mean, I'm glad we ended with a great show, but I'm kind of sad that this is it for the 2023 year. I just want to share that I'm so appreciative for everyone in our network and so appreciative, Brad, for you. You are literally one of my favorite people on the app, on the planet. I cannot say enough good things about you. So I'm so happy that we've been here and we get to continue next year together. And for those of you who are looking for new ways to connect with the Teach Better team, remember you can always get all the details over at teachbetter.com or just message Brad and I, and we'll get you connected to something fun that you're looking for.
100%. Something for everyone. And Ray, the importance of Teach Better and the Sunday weekly warm-up for me, it just can't be overstated. Wishing you and family a joyous Hanukkah and a beautiful holiday season ahead to everyone. And you never know what Teach Better fun might be popping up between now and when we reconnect in the new year for Sunday weekly warm-up, Ray.
So fun. For everyone, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah, happy birthday, happy anniversary, happy friendship day, all the things. We'll see you very, very soon. Do not be a stranger. We are here to support you. Have an amazing 2023, friends. We will see you in 2024. Woo!